Welcome back to your favorite morning talk show on 92.3 The Jams.
92.3.
As always in the studio, we've got Ace and the Strawberry. I'm Ace. And I'm Strawberry. And this is Stranger Still.
Pew, 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 pew.
Did you ever hear, I don't know if you would have heard this, but a long time ago, there's an ad on the radio that it was very, very low budget for some local thing that was going on in town, and instead of putting in the sound effects they're supposed to do, the guy reading the ad just said, lightning, lightning, and then they left it in.
That's so sick.
It was like, lightning crash, and then like he just kept talking.
Oh, that's so
like
great.
They're going to put a lightning crash. Welcome to Stranger Still.
I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. And you're listening to what one might call a podcast, which is kind of like an internet radio show. Would you not say that?
Yeah, I would probably say it like clearly and like well thought out without stumbling on my own words.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks to the magic of editing, no one will ever hear that.
Good thing I'm editing this week. Stranger Still is a podcast where we answer strange questions.
That you never thought to ask. I keep talking over John this today.
Yeah, this today you do.
I'm really tired.
That's all right, because with the magic of radio...
And editing...
I'm going to make it sound like you're chipper and happy and alive.
Yeah, all right. You're going to make this line sound chipper, happy, and alive. Ready?
Okay.
I hate life.
I'm going to have a lot of fun with that.
So today we're going to actually explore the ancient world of radio, mm-hmm. which you are somewhat an expert of. Are
yeah.
you not?
We actually started recording our first episodes.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to our first five... maybe seven-ish episodes. They were all recorded in the radio station where John works.
Yep.
And it's very bassy, and I think we sound better now.
Yeah.
We're not in a radio station.
Well, I got that job by accident.
Yeah.
I work with Animal Rescue. Uh-huh. They said, we want to do videos of dogs. Mm-hmm. I did videos of dogs, and they said, you're pretty neat. Let's put you on the air. And then yeah. I was DJ.
Yeah. Which we're going to tap into your expertise later on, because I've got some points to go over, because we're going to talk about a whole slew of radio things, because there's a lot of interesting things that I myself had wondered for a long time, and I know that people ask questions about radio all the time that they either don't know how to look up or don't care enough to look it up themselves, which is the point of this show. So if this is your first time listening to this, I've just recapped what we talk about on this show.
Education for lazy people.
Yeah, education.
And smart people.
And smart people that just want to learn some stuff. So, as we often do, I think there is no better place to start than
A Brief History of Radio, brought to you by Iowa Public Radio. Not really, but I'm going to say that for the joke.
Jokes are pretty good, Nick.
Thank you. So back in 1896, we found a way to transmit sounds and voices over invisible, what some might call, radio waves.
Oh, yes. Well, they weren't called that before it was invented, were they?
Well, looks like you're the comedian today, John.
I'm sorry for the light humor. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, there's no humor on Stranger Still Public Radio. 5 years later, the technology had boomed so much, we were able to transmit sounds and voices over radio waves across the Atlantic Ocean.
This is going to take forever if we keep doing this.
No, we got to keep doing it.
Before World War I, radio was mostly used to signal ships offshore and hobbyists that liked ham radio. Radio stations themselves started to sprout up all across the world, and they actually started to cause radio congestion, where there was just so much radio noise in the air, someone had to begin regulating it.
Looks like that's a subtle ad for some Kleenex, Nicholas.
We don't do ads on Stranger Still Public Radio, John.
Oh, it's, yeah, very donation-based.
Yes.
Almost 100%.
So thank you for bringing that up, John. This is our pledge week, and we hate asking for money, and we know that you hate us asking for money. But call 1-900, definitely not a sex line, and donate money to us today.
We cannot stress enough how much we need this money.
They're turning off our lights right now.
We cannot stress enough. I have a lot of dogs.
So by the 1920s, they finally got some regulation. And actually, in the year 1920, Westinghouse started up the first licensed radio station with the call letters KDKA in the city of Philadelphia.
This is KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We shall now broadcast the election returns.
Radio has basically stayed the same since then, except some of the technology has gotten better. For example, back in the day, the DJ would physically have to sit there and swap out records or tapes as the songs ended.
Right, DJs back then actually had what we like to call today phalanges.
Excuse me, sorry.
They would utilize these.
You're talking too fast for this radio station, John.
I'm sorry about that. Continue.
And they also had to add color commentary in between songs, live, as the broadcast was going. Which brings me to our first Facebook question of the day, which I plan on sprinkling throughout this broadcast.
Just a little taste.
Just a little taste. Nicely put, John.
Yeah, just a nibble.
Just a little nibble. Sorry, I got a little bit less bassy there. That's against company policy. Our first question comes from Delia B. on our Facebook group, who wanted to know, what do DJs do in between songs? And John, I thought you might be able to add a little bit of context.
Well, sure, Nicholas. Well, when you're working at a radio station, it's a hell of a thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we're not legally permitted to do anything in between music. We have to listen to the music to make sure that it's going well.
Right.
The turntable can go out at any moment.
Right.
You know, there's a number of things that can...
Someone might say a swear that you have to edit out live on the air.
Right.
I'm sorry, Delia, we have misled you. None of that was true. The reality of it is, many radio stations have their songs planned out days in advance,
mm-hmm.
with spaces in between their songs where commentary needs to be placed.
Some might call that pre-recorded.
Yes.
Which is why podcasts have taken off, because really you could do anything on a podcast because they're all live.
Right. This is live?
Yeah, it's 6:53 on Wednesday, April, whatever next Wednesday is.
Sorry, I broke character there, John. It's getting harder to continue this
bit.
Can
you, just get it together.
Sorry. I gotta think about
something. We're almost through history. Yeah.
Like our economic crisis.
Think of the economic crisis, Nick. Please.
So there will be blank spots in between songs where the DJ will come in, pre-record some commentary, and insert it in to be played during the scheduled time. Now, every radio station is a little bit different, and some may do some live things. And in that instance, I have no idea what they do in between songs.
A lot of Facebook, Nicholas.
Absolutely. Back in middle school, one of the DJs at our local radio station would go to AOL Instant Messenger and ask his listening audience to talk with him.
Wow. Yeah.
He would take music requests over AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, wonderful.
Technology has obviously changed the way that radio broadcasts reach our ears. For instance, there used to only be AM stations. And now if you look at your radio tuner, you will see...
Wild and crazy FM radio stations with your host, Ace and the Strawberry.
Ace
and the Strawberry.
Oh, that hurts to do. Oh, that's genuine. Oh, that hurts.
Hey, it's making you turn red, Strawberry.
So, this is actually one thing that a lot of our listeners on Facebook wanted to know about was the difference between AM and FM. And really, it does come down to differences in technology. And the best way I can explain it is that there are audio waves being transmitted over the radio waves. And AM carries those sounds over a varied amplitude wave, whereas FM carries the sound over a varied frequency wave. So amplitude is the height or peaks of the waveform, mm-hmm. whereas frequency is how fast it goes. So it allows less interference between the two, so you can have more radio stations. AM actually goes farther, but the signal doesn't transfer as good sound quality. If you go listen to AM radio, it sounds like they're talking through a toaster. And FM isn't carried as far, but it sounds a heck of a lot better.
Yeah.
Which is important for when you're playing music.
Yeah.
So if you go listen to AM radio, you're not going to hear a lot of music on there. You're going to hear a lot of talking.
Well, I listen to Iowa Classical.
Yeah.
That's it. On AM.
Yeah. It probably doesn't sound as good now, does it?
Yeah. Well, it kind of has like a nice like tinniness to it.
Yeah. I guess you might be into that. Like people that like records and stuff for the scratchy sounds and whatnot.
Except for this one really cool station that messes with the frequency and just in my Toyota would go and ramp up when I would accelerate in my car.
Really?
And I would be able to control it. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's crazy. I think one of the more interesting things that I've wondered for a really long time is radio's free, and they are somehow allowed to play music without seemingly like any rules.
Yeah.
Do you know why that is?
No. It gets new artists out.
Well, that's part of it. But you think of, there's like only a few hit stations, and then there's a lot of like classic rock and classical music and stuff like that. So that's not going to get new artists out there.
Yeah.
Well, John, it turns out there are some interesting copyright laws out there.
Wow.
Would you know that there are companies out there in charge of regulating music that's played on the radio?
Sounds like over-regulation to me.
Well, John, we don't like to do political stuff on this station. We only talk about dumb common sense facts that Harvard recently did a study to prove, and I'm going to present it like it's brand new information. So in America, we use this company called the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, and they're a not-for-profit company, which was made very clear in many places they're not-for-profit, and I don't know what the difference between not-for-profit and non-profit are, but apparently they need to make a distinction.
You can make money with non-profit. Like if you're an animal rescue, you can give yourself a salary. I don't know about not-for-profit.
I don't know. Radio stations pay a monthly fee to companies like this. Like Europe has CSAC, which is Society of European Stage Authors and Composers. There's different companies.
I'm a member of CSAC.
Well. Yeah?
Yep.
How so?
I'm a composer.
You're actually a part of CSAC?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me more.
When I was composing for film, my friend, who is my manager to get me into these projects, has to make sure that I'm a member of one of these societies to get paid. Because I was going to sign up for a company that you would compose for TV, and you had to be a member of CSAC or...
ASCAP?
ASCAP, yeah. I went with CSAC.
Yeah.
It was cheaper to sign up.
Yeah. Well, yes. One's more expensive than the other, and one thing that I was reading is that a lot of colleges, like Kirkwood here has their own radio station, they will go through some of the cheaper companies, and some of these companies have rates just for colleges, but you pay them a monthly fee, and you earn performance or broadcasting rights to like a whole library of songs, and they're constantly adding these in. And you have to have these broadcasting rights, which I'll get into some funny situations later. But when you use them, then these companies divvy out the royalties to the proper parties. So all you do is you pay them this one fee, you use this library of songs, and then they make sure the artists get their money.
Yep.
So that's why they're allowed to play the music. There's not a lot of copyright infringement. There are some funny instances where lawsuits have been issued on like bars or stores and stuff because they're playing music in their establishment and didn't have performance rights to them or broadcasting rights to them, which if you don't have that, you can get sued, which kind of scares me. If I were to ever open up a store or something and I don't want to play music, I don't want to get sued. The interesting thing about ASCAP, or the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, was that they originally formed in 1914, like right as radio was starting to blow up. It was formed by a few composers and songwriters who wanted to make sure that the radio wasn't basically using their music, getting a profit for it, and then they're not sharing the wealth with the source.
Can you like say that year one more time though?
1914, what'd I say?
1914?
Yeah.
That's when radio was blowing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like right before the 20s, and then they started this thing. And then in the 20s, the first radio station, KDKA, licensed, was established.
Nice.
Right? It's been around for more than 100 years.
Yep.
That's kind of scary.
103.
Yeah.
Ish.
Thanks for doing the math there for me and dating this episode.
120, if you're in the future.
100X. 100 plus X.
I'll bleep out what I said, so it's timeless.
So, John.
Yeah.
What radio station do you work for?
I work for a media company.
Well, what radio station, what were the call letters for the radio station you were a DJ for?
KRNA.
And this media corporation also has a few other radio stations. What are their call letters?
KHAK.
And?
K-Hook Country. And KDAT.
Uh-huh.
All the hits.
Yeah.
And I-107.
Yeah. That's not their call letters, though. I don't know what their call letters were.
No.
Wasn't it? I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is there anything in common with all of those call letters?
Yeah, they all have four letters in them.
Is there anything else in common with them?
Yeah, I'm not stupid, Nick.
Yeah.
They're all in the same building.
No, they all start with K.
Okay.
This was a surprise to John, and I'm going to put you on blast. Right before we started recording, I pointed out that all radio stations start with a K or a W, because also in town we have WMT FM. Actually, I think it's AM now. AM 600, WMT. But John sat here, and he's like, no, they don't. We've got KJK. And I was like, John, that starts with a K. And he's like, what about KDAT? Oh, yeah, it starts with a K, too. And it blew his mind. He's like, hey, I'm working through some stuff here, okay? Gosh. So those combinations, they're always four letters long, unless it's like WMT, whatever. They used to all have to be four letters long. I think they've changed that now. Back in the day when radio was getting out of hand, there was this conference called in 1912, so 2 years before ASCAP was formed. They gave out certain call letters for radio and TV that had to be used at the start of their four letter combination call sign. America got A, N, K, and W, but we never see A and N's. Do you know why that is?
No.
Take a wild guess.
Because they don't sound as cool.
That's a good guess. We appropriated A and N to be used with military affairs, and K and W were given for social or were given to commercial radio stations. The rules that were set into place were that stations east of the Mississippi River were to start with the letter W, and stations west of the Mississippi River were to start with the letter K. That's why we have a bunch of K's here in Iowa. But then we do have WMT, which I don't really understand. So my guess is it probably started east of the Mississippi and then came to Cedar Rapids. I don't know. I don't care that much. After that first letter, they can choose any combination of letters that they want, just as long as it's not taken by someone else. If you could have your own radio station, what would it be?
It'd be KPOP.
K-pop.
And I would play so much K-pop.
That was a nice.
But I would hire DJs that aren't into it.
Right.
They'd be like, here's another one of those songs you kids like.
Yeah.
I would only hire people from Fox News that retired.
Yeah, Gangnam Style. Okay. Is that still relevant? Hasn't been relevant for 4 years. Let's get real. I got some more Facebook questions for us. One, actually a couple from Kevin Davies, one of our podcasting friends. He wanted to know, why is Clear Channel okay when they're basically a monopoly? Do you know what Clear Channel is? Because I sure didn't.
Is that like anything goes, I'm on a boat and I'm a pirate and I'm just going to broadcast my stuff?
No, that's pirate radio, which we can talk about, but I don't know much about it.
Okay.
Clear Channel Radio is actually what we now know as iHeartRadio. They used to be called Clear Channel, and now they're called iHeartRadio.
Okay.
What do you know about iHeartRadio?
iHeart is actually, I think we've done events with them, but I don't remember.
They own a lot of radio stations, and it turns out, to Kevin's point, it seems like they own all of them.
Yeah.
In reality, they own 850 stations within the U.S. So I did a little bit of math here, and as of 2013 in the U.S., there was 4,728 AM stations, 6,613 commercial FM stations, and 3,989 educational FM stations. And that's according to the FCC, who regulates radio broadcasts. So that's 15,330 radio stations in total. So out of those, iHeartRadio owns 5.5%.
Oh,
far
man.
From a monopoly. But I have a feeling that I don't know what types of radio stations they have, but I'm assuming that they're commercial FM stations. So if we were to say that they only owned commercial FM stations, which might be true, that cranks up to a whopping 12.8%.
Okay.
Which is higher, but still a crapshoot away from a monopoly.
Yeah.
It's an eighth of radio stations, though, which is kind of crazy.
I just can't believe that many exist.
Yeah. Isn't that a ton?
I mean, I don't know a lot of people that listen to the radio.
Yeah, and we can talk about that a little bit, because I feel like radio's dying, but no one really cares.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. That's something I'm talking about at the radio station.
Yeah.
But they totally get it, and they know that they have to go through social media, which is kind of why I was hired, because they were searching for ad revenue in different places. Mm-hmm. So if we have requirements that we have to put up a certain amount of YouTube videos or get a certain amount of plays to make sure that everything's increasing over time, there's always got to be social media presence, which is kind of like what my role was making those videos and scheduling Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah. Most people just kind of listen to it in the car anymore.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, they'd sit around and listen to the radio as a family.
Yeah, this is your drive to work, or if you're at a workplace and you're allowed to have the radio on.
Which, in all honesty, helps keep radio free, which was Delia's other question on our Facebook group. She wanted to know why radio is free. It's because ad revenue.
Yep.
If you want to get your business out to people, you pay the radio a substantial amount of money to get it during those peak times of travel, like right before 9 a.m. or right after 5 p.m. where people are going to work or coming from work or on the weekends, to get the widest audience that you can.
Yep. You buy a certain amount of ads, and I've actually placed those in sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like bigger companies will do it too. Like I've done it for Home Depot, and you put it in for like a month.
Yeah.
They'll buy like two ads a week, and you schedule them in either in the morning or in whatever time slot they bought.
Right.
Because the morning is most expensive because people listen while they're driving to work.
And I know that some radio stations in town here bill themselves as the radio station that you listen to at work. They try to drill that in your head so you'll be like, oh, I should listen to the radio when I'm at work. And then they get more ad listens that way.
Yep.
And at some point, I think we should do something about the Nelson ratings or whatever the equivalent is for radio. Do you know what they are?
Nielsen?
Is
family?
It Nielsen?
Yeah.
I said it wrong, didn't I?
It's Nielsen. And it's pretty bad. I think they still use pencils, no?
Yeah. Yeah. My family got one like maybe 10 years ago, and it's just a little pamphlet, and you write it in with pencil, and you mark the time frames that you listen to radio and what you listen to for those time frames, and they give you like $10.
Wow.
There's got to be a much better way to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe there's not. I know that their TV technology is getting better, but... And then the last thing that Delia wanted to know was, why are some radio stations blank? And that really comes down to reducing interference, the congestion of the airwaves that I kind of talked about earlier. When you start up a radio station, you have to have it on a certain channel, which means that you're broadcasting at a certain frequency. The reason that some of those are kept blank is if there is something in the same area that's similar to your frequency, you might have interference. So you got to keep those separated. Got to keep them separated. Music joke.
Bad Offspring. Music joke.
Oh, okay. You don't like Offspring.
Keep going.
And that's why when you're scanning through, you might hear parts of another radio station playing, or it might just be white noise. That's why.
Yeah. Except for Gary's station.
Tell me about it.
He's really experimental and like artsy and like right. Really cool.
Yeah.
And he likes to play two stations at once. Like he always plays two songs. But he throws it under like this like really gritty, like edgy reboot of the radio. So it's like all staticky.
Yeah. It's the dark radio.
Yeah. Like you can't really hear like what's going on too much.
Well,
but...
here's the thing. Humans cannot hear it. But someday we will evolve to hear it.
Mm.
So we just got to get there.
Yeah, that's his new project that he's working on.
Yeah. And somehow he got federal grants.
It's so. Called Station Zero. It's really edgy.
Yeah. So we talked about a little bit about pirate radio. Do you know anything about that?
I know that for pirate radio, it means that people have things at home and just kind of broadcast their own signals and stories. And
yeah, you
it's
can,
like a hobby.
Yeah, you can actually like make your own... homebrew radio station if you wanted to. One of my friends wanted to do it a really long time ago. There's a lot of regulation that goes into radio broadcasts as far as the FCC goes. Like one thing that I didn't touch on is the logs that they have to keep. Like a long time ago, they had to keep everything down to the minute, like written down somewhere of what song was playing when and when advertisements hit and stuff. And that's no longer the case. Many radio stations still keep logs like that, but by no means does the FCC say that you have to keep them. You do have to keep logs for any time you upgrade or change equipment. So, like, make sure that you've done the proper tests on it and it fits regulation. And I assume that would be so, like, it's not doing anything, I don't know, maybe to interfere with the radio waves or something. I don't know, like, the technology stuff behind it, but you got to keep those logs. And then the other thing is the emergency alert system. There's tests for those every once in a while, and you have to keep logs for those to make sure that your emergency alert system is still working.
You know, is one of the weirdest and coolest things that I saw when I was working at the station as a DJ is they'd have to run their tests for like the weather service alerts and everything, and it would just. And then it would physically print out like a little receipt. There's a little printer that prints out the receipt and lets you know what's going on.
We were there when that happened once.
Yep.
We were recording the podcast and there was a tornado warning and it all of a sudden went off and then like this little sound started ticking away. I was like, what the heck is that? And it was just like the broadcast that was being stated on the radio being printed on paper so that it could be logged for later use.
And then Bob from KHAK comes in and grabs it and runs in the other room.
Yeah.
And he says, Bob. We're all alive.
We're all alive. We're on the 14th floor and there's a tornado. What are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You probably won't get hit by a tornado at that point, right?
Nah, you're too high. You're above it. You look down on it.
Yeah.
Looks like a spaghetti on a fork. Just swirling around.
So, hey, John.
Yeah.
This is Stranger Steel College Radio. Welcome back.
Where can people listen to us, Nicholas?
Well, we're talking right now, so.
So, like, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, this is, what's the name of it?
You can find us on Facebook, like, at Stranger Still.
Yeah, if you just, like, look at your computer and think Stranger Still, come up on there, I think.
Twitter at Stranger Still?
Yeah. A little bluebird gets me every time, man. And pretty sure our website's up. That's strangerstillshow.com.
Still John?
No, I'm still John.
You're still Nick.
And this has been Stranger Still College Radio. Keep it real. Go Wolf Dogs.
Go Wolf Dogs.
It's the name of our college sports team.
The Mississauga Wolf Dogs.